So, kids, we are thinking about Jesus being the rest giver. I don't know how anyone caught this video, but this is the story of the rolling lemon that does not stop rolling. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, it can just feel like it's about going and going and going and going and keeping on going and keeping on going and keeping on going, and it keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. Well, this is our lemon, and it keeps on rolling. Kids, I want to see, can you stand up and run on the spot and see if you can keep running until this lemon stops? Can you do it? Got no partakers today. It's just too hot. Can you keep running? Can you keep running? Just keep running until this lemon stops. It keeps on rolling. And sometimes we just feel so, so exhausted. And as people, we can feel under so much pressure to keep on going, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And yet, at what point were we created in the creation story of those 7 days, 7 seasons? Which day were we created on? Day 6. I heard that word 6 from there out there. And what was the first full day that we got to engage with? It was the 7th day, which was the day that God rested. And so humanity's first experience of life was rest. And then out of that rest, then became work. But ever since then, humanity has been robbed of rest. Because the way we do it is, did it stop? Just stopped. I think it was 1:50, I think that was. But we work and work and work, and when we're so exhausted, we stop, and then we rest. But you see, God has created you to work out of a place of rest and not out of a place of strife. And we are designed to work and live in a rhythm of work and rest, or rest and work. Rest and work. And we cannot be like these Duracell bunnies that you see, like packed up with these amazing batteries that just keep you on and on and on and on. God designed us for rhythm in our lives. And so in our first encounter, right, that we're going to look at over this season, today we're going to look, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now, we're going to be acting this out. So I need some little actors that can come and help us out. Tabici, I need you. I need you in my scene. So, first of all, I need a Jesus. Jack, you are the most holy person I can see in the building. Can you come and be Jesus? In fact, don't sit yet. Can you go over there? That's great. Thank you very, very much. Great. Right, we then need two people. We need a Mary and we need a Martha. So, Theodora, can you be a Mary? You want to be a Martha? Then you are going to have the main acting role. So, Theodora, come here. Right. So, Martha, you are really busy in your kitchen. That's the kitchen stuff. Can you start putting it all out, getting busy? Excellent. Right. I need a Mary. Could you be a Mary for us? No. Do we have a Mary in the house? Emily, would you be a Mary in our house? Would you be? It's a really simple. All you have to do is sit in a chair. Is that right? It's good. Excellent. Actually, yeah. So Mary, you're chilling out here. That's great. So, as Jesus and his disciples, so you can imagine Jesus here, and behind him and around him are all his cool gang of disciples. They've just been busy teaching, they've been on the road, and they're heading towards Jerusalem. And on their way, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, Martha, she is on it. She's one of these on it kind of people. If there's a moment when something needs to be done, she is there taking responsibility for the situation. So Martha heard that Jesus was coming. Can you go, oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus has come to our village. Just say that.
Jesus is coming to our village.
Oh no, he's going to be hungry. He's going to be hungry.
He's going to be hungry.
We've got to sort him out with some food. We've got to sort him out with some food. Yeah. And so what does she do? She leaves her kitchen. Yeah, take your brush with you because you were on it. And she walks towards Jesus. And she says, Jesus, you must be so tired. But don't worry. I've got it all sorted for you. And then she looks so surprised. She looks at me. He's coming to my house. Right. And then she turns around to Jesus. What do you like? Locust burgers. Yeah. Locust burgers. Yeah. Right. Okay. And so Martha goes, fine. I've got them in the freezer. Excellent. Right. So Martha says, come with me, Jesus. Now, how many people came with Jesus? Was it all his disciples? Was it all? So she's like, oh my goodness, it's not just Jesus. It's this lot. So anyway, this lot all come to Martha's house. Martha, lead the way. They come in. Well, in the house is Mary. Mary is sitting on the seat. She feels slightly obliged to give Jesus the chair. Would you mind giving Jesus the chair? Now, I know he's your brother, but you know. So Mary gave up her seat for Jesus. Round of applause, thank you. Well, Mary was like, no, you haven't finished yet. No. Mary's like, oh my goodness, this is Jesus. I've heard about him. I just want to get to know all about him. And so, Emily, this is a bit embarrassing, but just imagine you're Mary and just imagine this is Jesus. You're like, I just want to come and sit at his feet. That's great. And she's looking, and Jesus is like, do you know what's happened? He's like telling her all the stories. And she's like, do a wild looking face. Wow. Wow, this is amazing. Well, the story goes on because you can get the scene because right now, this is what's going on in the background. Martha is really, really busy in the kitchen. I mean, really busy. She is cooking how many locust burgers? I reckon you might need 60 for that lot. So she is really, really getting stressed in the kitchen because she didn't get the backup staff because she wasn't really realizing how many people. Do you know? And this getting into crisis mode in the kitchen. Oh, man. And so what happens in the text? Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. Just have an awe-looked face on your face, Martha. Mary. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And she came to Jesus and she said, so at this point, Martha is beginning to quietly fume in the kitchen. Why is Mary sitting there not helping me in the kitchen do the stuff? Doesn't she know that we've got Jesus and we have to give him the best? And I'm stressing here all by myself, I've got to do this. And so she gets really annoyed. And do you get to that point when you cannot contain your frustration any longer? You've got to beyond to just the slamming of the cupboard doors. It comes to a point of confrontation. So she comes out, Martha comes out, and she comes to Jesus. No, she didn't go to Mary. She went to Jesus. What a setup. So come on, Martha. And this is what she said. She said, Jesus, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits there while I do all the work? Did you ever feel that when you were growing up? Why was it when it came to do the washing work, my sister always had to go to the loo? I mean, what is it about that? And I was left doing the drying up. It just didn't feel fair. And for Martha, it's not fair that Mary gets us to sit there and I have to do all the work. And she's so livid, she's so stressed out. And of course, she thought that Jesus would say, "Martha, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize, I had not thought that you were so stressed out in the kitchen. Right, not only let's get Mary, but let's get Peter, let's get John, let's get James, let's get the crew in the kitchen helping." That's what I would have done. Jesus would have mobilized the troops to get dinner going. But what does he say? It's a complete showstopper. It's completely unexpected. He said, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details, about all just trying to get it right and perfect for me. But there is only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has chosen and discovered that one thing. And that will never be taken away from you. And it is to put Jesus first and to sit and to be relaxed and to chilled." Well, Martha was tutting at Jesus on this. Like, "What do you mean? What do you mean? This isn't the most important thing. These are my Lucas burgers I'm serving up here." And she is so cross. But we don't know what happened. Did she storm back into the kitchen and say, "Well, Jesus hasn't got his priorities right," and she carries on cooking? Or maybe she came back and she came and said, "Forget about the locust burgers. We'll eat at some point. But right now, this is a moment to rest in God." And so Mary, she came and she chilled out. And I want you to give us your most chilled out, relaxed look you can. Just imagine you're on the beach chilling out. Great. That's looking chilled out. That's good. That's good enough. I'll buy that one. Guys, round of applause for our actors. And I think this is so true. How often in life do we try and rest and try and relax? And you're just like, "Oh, God, yeah." You're just stilling out. And then suddenly in your head starts cropping up all this stuff like, "Oh, my goodness, I should be doing that. Oh, I should be doing this. Oh, I should be doing that pile of ironing. Oh, I should, do you know, I should have made that phone call. Oh, no, I can't just rest. No, I've got to be doing this." Or the case of, "I've got to-dos." Do you ever have a kid, "I've got to-dos"? "I've got to do this. I've got to do that. No, I haven't got, I can't. I can't just go and sit and rest. I can't just go and chill out because I've got this to do. I've got that to do." And yeah, you may think this is a frivolous point, but believe me, it's not frivolous when you feel driven on the inside and literally you can't switch off because you've got all this stuff going in on your head. And you're sitting in the chair and you're trying to relax and then you start getting all these anxieties coming in you, all these nagging doubts, and you start thinking about stuff. And so you're resting on the outside, but you're very far from being rested on the inside. And you see, this is the kind of rest that I think Jesus was beginning to come and talk to us about. Not just resting on the outside, but he's wanting us to have that quality of rest on the inside. And it could be all these internal voices, right, of comparing myself with others. And we're kind of resting, but then we start thinking about scenarios that went on. And these things are just telling me that I should be better. Expectations on responsibilities that I've got, that I should be in the kitchen doing a better job for Jesus. And yet God's saying, "No, I just want you to come and rest and give you real rest." And like that lemon, we just find ourselves keep rolling, 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 but we never look after ourselves and we don't give ourselves to being at the feet of Christ. And too many people have burnt out at the price of trying to do excellent ministry, trying to achieve a career, trying to do this, trying to do that, and we've missed the vital, important stuff. You see, it's hard to enter into natural rest when we don't have spiritual rest on the inside. And Sabbath rest, is the kind of rest that God wants to give you. And it's a spiritual state that is as much a physical state. So in Exodus, God said, make sure that you work 6 days, but rest on a seventh day. And there's all these rules about how you're not meant to take your donkey for a walk on a Sabbath, and so on and so forth. You mustn't walk so far because of this real commitment to finding rest. But you know, you can stop working, but you don't stop working on the inside. And you don't know that true, real rest. And Jesus says, I want to come and give you a true, deep, deep Sabbath that you can live out of and work out of that place of Sabbath. And it's a rhythm of work and rest that is vital for our healthy lifestyle and for staying fresh. Because we were never designed to live flat out. We know that. And it starts with settling our inner world. Hebrews 4 and verses 9 to 10. Just Paul writes, or the writer of Hebrews says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. And it's the work he's talking about here is striving for approval, striving for acceptance, striving to feel like you can make it in God. And God's just saying, I've done it at the cross. I did everything that was needed to allow you to know that it's okay to trust me and to let go and to rest in me. And you don't have to strive anymore because you are saved by the grace of God. You are brought into the rest of God. And actually, it's a place to live in. It's a place to abide in. And it's a place to live out from. And God's saying, I want you to know this Sabbath rest, just as God did his creation. And he still works. Now, I don't know whether he takes a seventh day off, but I think God's doing stuff all the time. But he's doing it out of this rhythm of work and rest, this work and rest. And there's seasons. We were joking about my glorious vine that annually takes over my greenhouse. But there's that pruning that happens. There's seasons of pruning back so that new growth can come. There's seasons in our walks with God when it feels that it's not so much happening on the outside, but God's doing stuff on the inside. And years ago when I felt that I didn't never know whether I could know a time of harvest, as it were, spiritually in my life again. I was out in a field in North Cambridge, and God just spoke to me, and there was this trashed up field, and it was chewed up, and I just felt like what I felt like on the inside. And I was like, God, I just don't know whether I'll see fruit again in my life, in my ministry. And I turned around, and there was a field of ready harvest of grain. It was on the Nyab field, so they were growing crops at different times, and it was all that experimentation stuff. And I felt God say, no, Tim, there's a season coming again when you're going to see fruit. And I remember plucking off one of those heads of corn and claiming that as a promise that, God, there is a season of fruit and growth coming again. And do you know what? I've got it on my office, on a bookshelf in my office. And yesterday, I was just tidying up some things before going on holiday later this afternoon. I'm not excited at all. I opened the window, and the wind blew, and it just blew this. I'd forgotten I had this piece of wheat on my shelf, and it just blew this wheat off onto the ground. And I just, oh yeah, God. And I just thought, I was like, God, I feel I'm in time of harvest again. God is doing stuff again. And that's like 8 years down the road. There are seasons in our spiritual walk with God. We have to understand his rhythms of grace. And you see, instead of sitting in the chair being stressed, God wants us to come and rest at his feet. And when we sit, we say, oh, God, thank you. Lord, just thank you for who you are. Lord, just thank you for what you're doing in my life. Lord, I just want to thank you for my wife. Thank you for the fact I've got a house. I've got to thank you for my life. Thank you for this amazing church I get to be part of, called 100-Year Community Church. Like, where else would I want to be? Lord, just thank you. And Lord, just thank you for who you are. And just begin to breathe in, God. And like, just say, God, thank you for who you are. And just begin to quiet yourself before God and just begin to wait on him and just to be still. And it may help sometimes to sit, sometimes I just sit like this and I say, God, I'm here. Lord, I just want to receive from you. And may just sit like that for 5 minutes and just see what begins to transform on the inside as God just begins to fill you with his love, with his rest, with his peace. And he begins to whisper things into your heart, saying, Tim, I love you, I'm for you. Yeah, don't worry about that thing. I'm going to sort it out. And you know, sometimes we get so stressed about trying to fix and sort everything out. But sometimes, if we let things have a bit of space themselves, sometimes they begin to sort themselves out for themselves. And this, and I finish on this, not every time. I'm not disowning proactivity and being on it, right? That is given. But sometimes we've got to give things over to God. And remember, we talked about what's mine to do and what's God's to do. Remember, we've been talking about that over the last 6 months. And we've been talking about the borderline between worry sits on the fault line between what's God's to do and what's mine to do. And God's calling us into rest. And so these, I'm just going to finish on these 3 points, guys. And these are little takeaways. Children, if you want something to do in these last couple of minutes, which emoji face do you feel you are today? Take a colouring sheet. I've got some pens down here. And you can colour in your sheet and you can decide which one you are. Adults, if you want to do some colouring as well, if you're switching off and bored at this point, please take one. And colour it in. But children, you can think about that. There's some pens to go around as well. If you want to take a pen to each other, there might be a pen you want to do some colouring. Yeah, that's good. Excellent. So here's the 3 things of why is rest so vital for us. And the first thing is because I'm better for it. Actually, even physically, I'm better after a really good night's sleep. If I'm burning the candle at both ends, I begin to become grotchety and I begin to get a little bit short and snappy in my replies and I begin to get a bit unpleasant to live around. If I'm living stressed on the inside, I could be unpacking the dishwasher and someone, one of my family members, has put something not quite right in the way it should be in the dishwasher, because we all know there's a perfect way to pack a dishwasher. And far be it for anybody to violate where the main plates need to stack. And when irrationally, normally I would not react, suddenly you can find yourself snapping at someone in your household when you look back on it and think, do you know what? It was nothing to do with the dishwasher. It was all to do with that situation at work that I'm stressed about and I was thinking about at the moment. And I just took that stress out on another member of my family and I was not dealing with it properly within myself. And actually, rest, we become better for it when we rest. Rest is healthy for me spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and improves my relationship with God, my household, and around others around me. And I'm better for having rest. Rest doesn't mean doing nothing, as we know. It can be doing something completely, you know, physical, but different to what we would normally do. And it's so important that we're not burning life at either ends. Secondly, it humbles me. Rest humbles me. It reminds me that the true productivity comes from God and not from me. His favor, ability to multiply and create divine appointments is what I need to accomplish all that has got for me. Sometimes we think we need to be asking God for miracles. Actually, often we need to be praying for God to open opportunities. And God-given opportunities can move things forward in your life. And actually, some of the biggest, most strategic things that have happened in my life have been things that I had no control over happening. Someone moved from South Africa into a location. Bang, it changes everything. Couldn't have manufactured that. Couldn't have contacted them through LinkedIn. It was just, you know, the movement of God arranging things. Do you know what I mean? And we need to trust God more into situations. And there are things that we might be stressing out, or we might be thinking, God, this needs a miracle on it, or this needs you on it. Bring it to God. Bring God into it. It reminds us that God's bigness and his abilities are what we need to depend on, and it's not all down to me. There is a day and time when I can and need to lay things down and to rest, because sometimes God is doing more behind you than he is doing in front of your nose. And we need to trust that God is in control and he is perfectly able to do things. And so that's so important. And then the third thing, it reminds us that doing is not everything, and that we need a balanced rhythm and rest and work in our life. Time to focus on the fullness of life. Time to be present at home. Time to be present. When we're at work, let's be present. Let's do amazing work. Let's not be checking our Facebook feeds during work. Let's work with all our might. Let's do dynamic stuff at work. And then when work is done, let's come home and be fully engaged at home. Let's be present people where we need to be and how we need to be. And so hard work, smart working is so important into the mix. And last week, Stephen's message with us about simplifying life was so helpful. That went around on the email thing last week. And actually, if we feel that we are living in a place of overextension in our lives, we don't need to do something more. Sometimes we need to cut things back and prioritize, saying, God, what are the most important things for this season for me? You know, if you're finding yourself flushing the loo before you've finished, you know, or basically you literally haven't got time to sit down for breakfast because you're eating the cornflakes on the way out, God, say no. There's more than enough time to do everything that you need to do. You just need to find what are those things that are really important that we should be doing and living in those rhythms of rest. So maybe this summer is about evaluating how we are working, how we're doing rest, how we're finding that replenishment, and are we doing too much? Because God is saying, I want you to know my rest. I want you to work out of that place. And so in closing, I just want to remind us where we started in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you've designed us to be incredibly fruitful, to be incredibly dynamic in our lives, to accomplish things, to create things, to innovate, to serve, to make things possible, to create better environments, to tend the land, to care for cities and towns. But Father, you've also called us to rest and to sit at your feet. God, would you help us this summer to reflect on who and how you've created us to be? And I pray, Father, where any of us are feeling overextended today, that right now you come and fill us with your peace and your rest. Lord, I thank you that we can take on your yoke. And you will teach us how to live, not stressed out, but living out of that Sabbath rest. God, we want to receive this from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.